Which players are on the move, and what impact will that have on the teams involved? Jim Duquette will fill you in now in the On the Move podcast, presented by Penske.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with MLB.com's Jim Duquette. We're talking about On the Move, and as the season's gone on, we've kind of used that phrase for a lot of different things, whether it's players coming back from the DL, being traded. Now we're going to talk about teams on the move as well, because we're getting close to October, and man, the Cubs are knocking on the door as far as clinching the magic number as we record this 3 right now. So it's early, and you got to talk about teams that clinch early. They have to play out the string. So what are the concerns, and is Joe Maddon the perfect guy to kind of deal with that?
Yeah, I think Joe's perfect for it. I think they, as a front office, are perfect for it, too. They plan so far in advance. They've already planned and separated John Lester and Jake Arrieta. They have Kyle Hendricks in between. They did that. They swapped that over the weekend to line up their postseason starting rotation. It's interesting for me because this is a younger team that I don't think rests on their laurels. You know, Joe can continue to push the buttons. They'll be careful and cautious about workloads and all that stuff like you have to be. But I don't get the sense with this team, especially when you know the history, and Joe's real good about making sure that, you know, he has the right buttons, that they're going to get anywhere, there won't be any complacency there. I think they have some veterans there like David Ross and Ben Zobrist and Rizzo. Those are guys that are not going to let you become complacent either. So, you know, it's really about lining up your pitching, making sure they're not overused, making sure your bullpen's being used properly, making sure you get into a rhythm as you get closer to the end of the season, and then, you know, being rested and ready to go, but keeping that pedal down. And I don't anticipate any issues there.
Now, once they clinch, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday of this week, maybe it lasts till the weekend, the moment that happens, you know that the writers and the stories, the media in Chicago, it's just going to begin. It's been this many years. It's right. Been this many years. This is the last time they won the World Series. And not it's been happening all year, but it's really going to get ramped up. They just got to kind of block that all out, right?
Yeah, and they do. It's easier said than done, I think. But they went through it a little bit last year,
yeah.
And I think that helps a lot. It's, you know, they were a little bit ahead of their schedule in what they thought was going to be a postseason run when they got there last year, and so a lot of those questions came up. I thought they answered them really well last year. So the expectation is they're going to answer them probably the same way this year, and. Yeah, are there higher expectations because, you know, they've won, they've had this huge lead, and you're going to have over 100 wins and everything else? Yeah, I think that there is. I think certainly within the city there's huge expectations too. But, you know, I think for the time being they can kind of relax a little bit on that topic until they get into the postseason. And then, you know, I think the other thing is just making sure you're staying healthy. You know, there are times where you have these key injuries late in the season, late in September. I think that's the one thing, if you're the Cubs, you want to avoid. That's the thing that could derail this whole operation. So they're going to be careful and cautious there.
So the Cubs have been the front runners all season long. From day one, you could argue the best team in baseball. I know they didn't have the best record at the All-Star game, but most of the way from day one till now. Then you have the teams that are on the move from behind,
right.
And including two teams in New York with the Yankees and the Mets. If you had talked about those two clubs a month ago, most people would have said, well, they're trending the other way, especially the Yankees, who seemed all but out of it. But they bring up the baby bombers,
right.
Come up and they get going. And that brings us into a discussion of September call-ups, valuable September call-ups and late August call-ups. And nobody has been more productive since the trade deadline, since the Yankees traded all those players away, than Gary Sanchez, who in a brief amount of time has thrown himself into the Rookie of the Year discussion in the American League. So as far as guys who have really come up and helped their teams, nobody's done more than Gary Sanchez.
Well, and Sanchez, it's amazing what they did. They put him right in the middle of the lineup, batting in third in the lineup, and put the pressure right on him. I mean, as he started to show that he could handle it. And I've been really amazed. And even when he went through a quick, and it was quick, downturn, he got himself back on track and has been a huge threat. I can tell you, I was sitting there watching one of their games with a current general manager, and he said, man, the ball comes off the bat like Mike Piazza. And it really does. You know, there are some similarities already. Now, you hate throwing that comp on him right away in his rookie season. And listen, there'll be other comps along the way. But what he's done in this short period of time, it really is impressive. I'm impressed even with the defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see him throw out runners, threw behind a runner the other day, picked off a guy at second base. He's handled the pitching staff well. Like, a lot of these things that you expect, you know, him at a more advanced stage, he's been able to pick up early in his career.
Talking to Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo about him, and he's the catcher of the year as far as their all-prospect team, but they said he's been better at the major league level than he was all year in the minors. Like, he's gotten on the big stage and just taken off, and you said it offensively. He's also done it defensively. He's also had amazing moments like the intentional walk where the fourth ball slips into the strike zone and he hits it for a sac fly. So he's one guy that's come up and had a huge impact on the pennant race. As far as September call-ups, Jose De Leon for the Dodgers. We talked all year really about Julio Urias, and he was the, you know, the number two prospect in baseball and the teenage lefty and what he would be able to do. And sure, the ceiling is still there for Urias, but as far as right now being ready, it seems like De Leon is further along and has certainly helped the Dodgers more.
You know, and the Dodgers had a chance to trade De Leon at the deadline. It didn't do it with Yasiel Puig to go ahead and try to see if they could, you know, get a bigger deal. Maybe it was for Ryan Braun or somebody else. And the Dodgers said no. They wanted to keep the kid, and it was the right move. They, you know, he's a I think potential middle of the rotation type starter. He's got the good fastball. He's got a really good changeup, and the breaking ball's coming along. So he's shown really well. They needed him, you know, after the Kazmir injury and re-injury. They needed to bring him up too and get him some opportunities and give him an opportunity rather. And he's made the most of it. So, you know, it's been a huge impact. I expect him to keep marching out there. Dave Roberts is going to continue to push that button until they get healthy, until guys like Anderson and McCarthy come back off the disabled list, if Kazmir comes back from the DL. But, you know, De Leon's been a nice breath of fresh air.
Yoan Moncada hasn't had that kind of impact with the Red Sox, and there was a lot of talk whether or not he should be called up for September. He gets the call and had some moments early on, had an RBI double in a big spot, has shown off the arm at third base, which amazes me that he came up as a second baseman when you see the way he can throw the ball. But at other times, he's kind of shown that maybe he's not quite ready to be a major league ball player. The tools are there. How far away is he, do you think? Because he's going to get his moments here in September.
He's going to get his moments. I talked to John Farrell today, actually, about him. And he said, listen, it, clearly the talent's there. We saw the talent at the Futures game, you and I did. We've seen him along the way. He's going to be good. He's just not ready yet. I mean, they're going to play him, but it's about winning right now. It's not about developing. And so they can't afford to have many mistakes. And, you know, listen, Travis Shaw has perked up his offense.
It almost is like Moncada's
like
arrival.
Yeah. And you see that sometimes. You push guys, you're like, okay, the guy wasn't believing it. Well, now all of a sudden he's here. So, you know, I think there's a couple things like that. I mean, you know, Moncada struggles, Shaw's ability to hit. They had to go to Shaw and give him that opportunity. And so Moncada's going to have to, you know, keep himself ready and maybe be a pinch runner and maybe get his at-bats here or there. He's clearly a very, very talented kid. You know, if I'm looking at it, you'll see what we've seen out of him. Probably going to need another half season of development in the minor leagues before you could think he's ready. But he's very, very close. He's going to be an impact type of player. No, there's no doubt about it.
And still so young. Andrew Benintendi has been the bigger factor for the Red Sox team. Briefly, when he first came up, he really looked like he is ready for the big leagues. Then he gets hurt. Now he's kind of making his way back, so he'll be back with the Red Sox shortly. This is the On the Move podcast presented by Penske, Tim McMaster, and Jim Duquette. We talk about the Yankees. The Mets are the other team there when you look at the National League that has kind of taken off after everybody was maybe starting to kind of give up a little bit. All the injuries, everything they've dealt with. The rotation is a shell of what you thought it would be at this point in the season, but guys may be coming back. Steven Matz, DeGrom could still have an impact here in September.
Yeah, and until then, they've got, you know, Seth Lugo and Robert Gsellman from the minor leagues that both pitch really, really well. And you know, DeGrom seems like he's closer. He did a simulated a side session, 35 pitches, was pretty intense. Sounds like they might give him another one. He could come back as one appearance in relief to kind of build up the arm strength. We'll have to wait and see. But that's a huge beast to have coming back in September. Matt, you know, there's some optimism there, too. You know, he's obviously had the elbow chips, and he had the shoulder issue, too. You know, if you get one of those guys back, that it really helps. And, man, I tell you, we talked about how good they've been playing. I mean, you look at this period of time, 1.116 out of 22. And then they still have this week's schedule here after the Nationals, and you get DeGrom back, and then you allow yourself to dream. Boy, if you got into a one-game plan, you've got Noah Syndergaard, one of the best guys, and then the pitchers after that with Cologne and DeGrom if he stays healthy. So there's still a threat, even though they've had decimated by injuries to that rotation. They still are a factor, and I think will be as the end of September comes around.
And you need less starting pitching in the postseason. You think if this team gets in there and they have DeGrom, Syndergaard, maybe Matt's helping, they still have all these other guys, suddenly that pitching staff looks pretty good again and a little more like what we thought they would have all season long. The Indians right now don't have the rotation they've had all year long. The injury to Danny Salazar out 3 to 4 weeks, so basically that's it for his regular season, and starting pitching has been such a big part of that Indians team. How big a hit is this?
It's a big hit. I talked to Chris Antonetti today, actually. I mean, they're not quite sure if he'll be ready to come back, but I do think that overall, even if he's not able to come back as a starter, he's still one of their top 12 pitchers mm-hmm. in their organization. So you have to look at him and consider him in a relief appearance or a relief role, which he said that they would consider. Until then, you got Mike Clevinger, you've got Josh Tomlin that are both going to be pitching in the rotation. And I think, it's likely with a nice, healthy lead that they have in the division that they're going to win this division. They're going to be in that first round. They need three starters, it's obvious. If they need a fourth, I think the guy who's pitching the best will end up getting it. Tomlin pitched really well in the first half, not so much in the second half. Clevinger still has a chance. He could be a part of that. So, that's up in the air. But it's still a really good team. It's a shame because of the injury. But I still think that they have enough pitching to go deep into the postseason.
The Twins continue to kind of make the search for the new general manager. Terry Ryan has been relieved a while back now. Obviously, they have the interim in there. And maybe no surprise that they're looking in the direction of Chicago and the Cubs and that organization and what that team's been able to do to build a team from the bottom up and which probably now has the most talent in baseball and maybe find the next Theo Epstein, and Jason McLeod's name has come up.
Jason McLeod has been a talented individual, an evaluator, but also has the sabermetric slant that he's learned under Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein. And so he seems to be one of the perfect candidates. The Twins have been pretty clear. They want somebody who can rebuild their organization. It's going to use the sabermetric model, statistical model background, and is a good evaluator. And he's one of the best, if you look at it. Jason is without having GM experience. So clearly one of the teams that's been winning over the last couple of years and built it the right way, the Cubs, you're going to look at their executives first. We'll see if Jason wants to move. Their front office has been reluctant to move on. Jed Hoyer's had opportunities as a president. He didn't want to go anywhere. Jason has turned down GM opportunities elsewhere. But, the Minnesota one is a pretty good job, too, and it's not that far away. I don't think you'd be that far away to win if you went in there and did a couple of right moves, because you're not going to have the high payroll. We know that with Minnesota. You're going to have to build from within, and so you need an evaluator like Jason. I think that's a perfect fit. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a pretty aggressive push for him.
They have some pieces, obviously, Buxton and Sano and Berrios coming along the way. You have the young talent. You got to add more, obviously. Be interesting if the Cubs do win it, if guys are more likely to leave knowing that they were a part of the team that won it, as opposed to leaving and then seeing the Cubs break that drought the next year. You want to be a part of something like that. So that's certainly something to watch. As we round things out here, let's talk about guys moving up on the move as far as all-time lists in baseball history. David Ortiz and Ichiro. We'll start with Ortiz, a homer again on Monday night. He's locked in right now. 536 for his career. He ties Mickey Mantle for 17th on Major League Baseball's all-time home run list. And he does it now at age, he's in his 40s. He's setting all kinds of records as far as a guy in his 40s as well. And you just keep thinking maybe he shouldn't retire, but then you see him run to first and you know he's got to retire.
He's going to retire, and that's the main reason. I mean, that's it. I mean, the amount of time that Dave Dombrowski, the GM, president of baseball operations, and John Farrell both have said, the amount of time that Ortiz, it takes him to get ready for a game is lengthy. And, you've gone down this road so far, basically gutting it up. It's hard for him to run. They have to be careful and cautious when they have him run. If he runs and legs out a double, they're likely to not have him want to leg out another one, at least for the time being, and trying to get him through the season. So his body's starting to break down. Even though the eye-hand coordination is still there, he's having a career-type year, especially at his age. It's been remarkable. He is going to end up walking away, but man, it's been impressive. He just keeps moving on up that list of from the offensive side of things to be in the same company as Mickey Mantle's. Very impressive.
And he scored from first on a double last week, and I think all of New England kind of held their breath as he ran three bases at once.
Sure.
Not something he's had to do too much this year, but he did get there safely. All right, and then as far as Ichiro goes, obviously it's the hits list, and it's up to 3,025 after Monday as another big night. Three hits for him, and he passes Lou Brock on that all-time list.
You know, and Ichiro is the guy, for me, that may keep playing. It sounds like he wants to keep playing. He said at one point, I could see myself playing till age 50. Now, we'll see. The game will tell you, will determine that. But the way he swung it this year, and he, you know, he's done a nice job keeping himself ready with that young outfield there, but he's gotten a few more opportunities. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back in Miami again. It was such a good fit for him. They like him. He seems to be like it there, and automatically he seems to have been able to find, you know, the right opportunities for him, even with some of the injuries there. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on him. But, man, tremendous what he's been able to do and getting to 3,000 hits and having the most hits of anybody in the world. When you look at that, kind of going back to a previous discussion you and I had back when he passed Pete Rose for the number of hits when you count his hits from Japan and here in the States. But, continues to be impressive and really look a lot younger than he really is.
25th on the all-time hit list is Ichiro. All right, that's going to do it for us. For Jim Duquette, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in to the On the Move podcast presented by Penske.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.